Hello, everybody. This is Steve Hutto, and you are listening to the Steve Hutto Podcast. Let me briefly tell you about Harvest Celebration Ministries. We are a people-supported nonprofit missions organization that was founded several years back to reach into the nations of India and now into Honduras. And God has used Harvest Celebration Ministries to change a lot of lives in other nations of the world. We do offer child sponsorships in Honduras. For more information on that, you can check out and visit www.harvcel.com. We're always looking for great folks to lock arms with us, to team up with us, to take the gospel and the love of Jesus to the different nations of the world. Once again, that's www.harvcel.com. That is Harvest Celebration Ministries. Today I want to talk to you about the gates. You know, Jesus talks about a couple of types of gates that when you take a close look at it, you see how significant these gates are and how in a parable-like fashion, he explains what these gates mean for you and me. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. Listen to what Jesus said. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. And then verse 14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So I want you to notice that the first thing that Jesus does here is he says, enter through the narrow gate. You know, I'm sure you'll agree with this, but I believe that Father knows best. Also, Jesus knows best. He made the suggestion, enter through the narrow gate. Jesus would never tell us to do something that would be detrimental to our eternity. So he says here, enter through the narrow gate. Now, this is what I like to call the Deuteronomy chapter 30 syndrome. And what I mean is this, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, Moses is about to depart this life, and God speaks to Israel through Moses. And this is what he says. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. But listen to what he says next. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. I mean, that's just like God. It's like, okay, listen, folks, today I'm putting before you life and death. It's your choice. That's what I love about the Lord. We can choose whatever we want to choose. He gives us the choice, life and death. He says, this also means that I set before you the blessing and the curse. But then he suggests this. He says, but listen, I'm God. I know what's best for you. It would be much better for you if you choose life over death, if you choose blessing over cursing. So choose life. I urge you to choose life. This is what I call the Deuteronomy chapter 30 syndrome. You know, a lot of people wonder why God just doesn't wave a magic wand and everyone gets saved. Well, that would just make us a bunch of puppets. But he does give us a choice. We can choose life or death. We can choose the blessing or the curse. And God is so loving and so caring that he suggests strongly that we choose life. Why? So that you may live. You know, if you choose life, what's going to happen? You live. If you choose death, you're going to die. If you choose the blessing, you're going to be blessed. If you choose the curse, then you're going to be cursed. The Deuteronomy chapter 30 syndrome. It's at work here in the New Testament where Jesus is saying, look, I set before you a choice, the wide gate or the narrow gate. The wide gate or the narrow gate. And then he says, me knowing best, I suggest you choose the narrow gate because that's the one that leads to eternal life. Again, we have the choice. So these gates that Jesus is talking about, what does he mean by this? What is he portraying in this parable-like teaching when he's saying, enter through the narrow gate? And he's talking about a wide gate as well. The gate that Jesus is referring to, listen carefully to this, is the point at which you leave this life and enter into eternity. So when it's time for you to go and cross over from this life to whatever life you're going to cross over to, life or death, as Jesus refers it to here, you're going to be faced, you're going to go through a gate. It's either going to be the wide gate or the narrow gate. The wide gate, remember, opens into destruction. When you find yourself at this point, this life is done. It's over with. The choices you've made have brought you to this gate, and whichever one it is, life or death, when you get to that gate, it's time to go in and all is done. And whichever gate you go through, that's what you're going to get for all of eternity. So Jesus said the wide gate opens to destruction. The narrow gate opens and leads to eternal life. Now, Jesus also says this. I mean, this is really simple, but you know, if you're a Christian and you're born again and your desire is to follow Jesus, then you can understand this. You will understand this. There are ways or roads, if you will, that lead to each gate. So the broad way is the way of the world, and this way leads to the wide gate that enters into destruction. The narrow way is the way that is following Jesus, even in the midst of the world. This way, the narrow way, leads to the narrow gate that opens to eternal life. The way itself, whether it's broad or whether it's narrow, is the way you live in this life on this earth. And again, the way you live in this life on this earth, that's the way you choose. And when your life is over, if you're still on either one of these ways, that's the gate you're going to find yourself before. If you've chosen the wide way by rejecting Jesus, then you will find yourself at the wide gate that leads to eternal destruction. And you see, the narrow way is also a path, and it leads to the narrow gate opening up into eternal life. The narrow way is the way of following Jesus in the midst of this world. The narrow way is diametrically opposed to the way of the world. We'll talk about that in just a minute, a little bit more. But the narrow way is definitely not the easy way. The broad way, as Jesus called it, is kind of like one of those lazy rivers, you know, in the water park. And not that the lazy river is bad, but what I love about the lazy river is you just hop up on your little tube there, you kick back, and the river just takes you all through the park with no effort. You can relax, and really, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but it's a good thing, the lazy river. But the way of the world is the same way. There's no effort to go with the way of the world. You just kind of like take a deep breath, exhale, and go with the world. We are born into the broad way because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden years ago. We're born going to hell. We're born with a sin nature, so to speak. And to live for the world is just the very nature of our existence. And so unless you are born again, of course, of the Spirit of God, you will go the broad way. And you will, if you don't change, you will end up at the broad gate. But if in this life we accept Jesus instead of reject Him, and we commit to following after Him, then we will go the narrow way, which is against the flow of the world. And you know, so many people teach that all you have to do, and listen, when I say this, I'm not questioning anyone's salvation. That's not what I'm here to do. But I am here to say this. So many people teach that all you have to do is say a little short prayer, and usually repeating a prayer that somebody else prays, and boom, just like that, you've got fire insurance. You're not going to go to hell. you're going to go to heaven. And I'm certainly not saying that there are not people that are not genuinely saved during this prayer. But there are many that are coerced into believing that all they have to do is pray this little prayer, and then everything that takes place when you reach that gate and beyond is all taken care of. Well, that's not true. Because if you truly accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have to be told, you have to be schooled on the fact that you turn your entire life over to Him. What was once yours is now Jesus's. I mean, everything about you, your family, your children, your job, your ministry, your education, everything about you is now Jesus. It belongs to Jesus. You surrender to Him. Jesus said this, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me." I mean, to follow Jesus is to go exactly opposite of the way of the world. When you follow Jesus, you don't look exactly like the world. You don't do the things of the world. You don't speak like the world. You love the people of the world. You make yourself available to minister to people in the world. But you don't go the ways of the world to the point that no one really knows whether you're saved or not. You know, I don't know about you, but I've known people before that could talk a really good talk, but they weren't walking the walk. And that was very obvious to me. And so I knew that something needed to be adjusted in their walk with Jesus. Maybe it wasn't genuine, or maybe they were a babe in Christ. Maybe they need to be discipled or something. But the goal of the born-again believer who has surrendered their lives to Jesus is to live for Jesus and to follow Him and His Word and the Spirit of God all the days of their life. And I can tell you, my friend, if you do that, you will not flow with the world, and you won't always look really, I mean, you won't always be popular to the world. So let me get back on this. The broad way, again, is the way to the world, and it leads to the wide gate that enters into destruction. The narrow way is the way of following Jesus in the world, and it leads to the narrow gate that opens to eternal life. And the way in general, broad or narrow, is the way and how you live your life on this earth, either for the world or for Jesus. Now let me talk about for a few minutes, the wide gate. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, the last part of that verse, He said, "For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it." Now, why would it be that many people enter through this wide gate that leads to destruction? Again, because every person that's ever been born is born and will be born, is born into this way. And while you are on this way, we must surrender our lives to Jesus in order to be transformed from the domain of darkness, as Colossians 1:13-14 says, and transferred into the kingdom of Jesus. That's when we become born again and we start living our lives for Jesus. Once we do that, we're no longer on the broad way, and we commit our lives to serving Jesus, which is the narrow way. But a lot of people will reject Jesus. So at the end of their lives, having gone the way, the broad way, they're going to find themselves facing the wide gate as they enter into destruction. Again, at that point, this life is over. So many enter destruction through the wide gate. Again, we're born into this way, and we're heading for the wide gate the moment we're born that leads to destruction. The only way to break off this path again is to be born again by the Spirit of God. Now, the narrow gate in Matthew 7:14, Jesus talks about another gate. He says, "The gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life. And get this, and there are few who find it." He didn't just say there are few who enter through it. He said there are few that even find this gate. Now, this alone in itself confirms the fact that we must live for Jesus in order to live for Him eternity, throughout all eternity. We have to not just pray a quick prayer and then live any way we want to, deluded into thinking that we're going to go to heaven when we die. No, we must be, when the gospel is preached, we must preach the whole gospel. We must learn the whole gospel and abide by it. And that is that we become His the moment we are saved, and everything about us is His, and we begin serving Him. Even Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, says that He didn't even consider equality with God something to hang on to. In other words, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit didn't have to grab each one of Jesus' legs and drag Him out and off of the throne, His throne, in order for Him to come to the earth. No, it says that He laid aside His privileges. He emptied Himself. And in doing so, He made Himself a bondservant of God the Father. So that when He was born of God through the Virgin Mary and served on the earth 33 years, He did everything His Father told Him to do. As a matter of fact, Jesus even said, I don't do anything on my own initiative, but only what the Father tells me, what I hear or see Him doing. That's what I do. Because He was a bondservant and He came here to serve Him. The ministry of Jesus, of course, it was about you and me because God so loved the world that He gave Jesus. But for Jesus, He certainly loved us because He was God too. But for Jesus, the ministry He came to perform on this earth was about His Father. Everything about what Jesus did. As a matter of fact, the definition for a bond servant is a slave who submits himself to his master for the rest of his life, and his will is consumed by the will of his master. And that's the way Jesus was when He was on this earth. It wasn't about His own will. He was consumed by God's will, and whatever God wanted, that's what Jesus did. That's why He came to the earth. He's our perfect example. And now as we come to know the Father through Jesus, we become bondservants to Jesus and our Father God as well. And everything that we do on the earth should be about Jesus. He should be the heart of it. He should be the foundation of it all if we've asked Him into our heart and we've truly surrendered our lives to Him. That, my friend, is the narrow way. Jesus again said, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who even find it. Man, that's powerful. It's kind of tough too, but it's powerful. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. What did Jesus mean? He meant that that person who will be saved is the one who is going to take the narrow way, and he's going to end up at the narrow gate. And when that gate opens, it's going to open into eternal life for that person for the rest of eternity, because he endured to the end. His life wasn't consumed with the things of the world. It wasn't consumed with pleasing man or building their own kingdom or accumulating stuff or great accomplishments for yourself. But this person was consumed with living for Jesus. Man, and when he leaves this life because he took the narrow way, or she, then they're going to go through the narrow gate that leads for eternal life forever and ever and ever. Now again, the narrow way of following Jesus opposes the way of the world. I mean, this is quite obvious. It's the narrow way. It's not the easy way. You have to make an effort to follow Jesus in this life. And if you've tried that, you know what I'm talking about. If you're doing that, you know what I'm talking about. This is the only way that leads to the only gate, the narrow gate, that leads to eternal life with Jesus. Jesus also said in Matthew 10:22, listen to this. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. He didn't say it's the one who 35 and a half years ago prayed a 10-second sinner's prayer is the one who's going to be saved. But it's going to be the one that started serving Jesus then, and at the point of death, he will have served, or she have served Jesus all the days of their life, and they're standing before the narrow gate, and that's when Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." Listen, it's not about works. It's not about perfection. It's not about performance. It's about having a heart to serve Jesus. God never called us to be perfect. He never called us to be flawless. Thank God for that. He's full of mercy and grace. And when we face our weaknesses and our flaws and our failures, God is the first. He will forgive us. He's the God of the 29th and 30th chances and beyond. But let me tell you something. We're not called to be perfect. We just have to have a heart after Jesus. We realize that it's through our own weaknesses that his power is realized in and through us. So Jesus said, "The world's going to hate you because it hated me." I mean, listen, why do you think prayer in schools is opposed? The sanctity of life is opposed, and all of these things that are happening in these last days, because those are the things that Jesus stood for, and that the world hated him because he testified of it. He said that its deeds were evil, then it's going to hate the followers of Jesus. But let me tell you something, my friend. You'll never realize the supernatural, miracle-working power of God until you take a stand for Jesus in the middle of a world that opposes everything about Jesus. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation that hates Jesus and the things of the kingdom of God, when you take a stand on him and his principles, then and only then will you see and experience the miracle-working, supernatural power of our mighty God. And I'm telling you something, we're entering some times now when people need to see the supernatural reality of our God, and we're about to see many of those things. So we're going to be hated by all, not by every person, but the very nature of the world hates Jesus. And so therefore, he said, it's the very nature of the world will hate those who follow Jesus, but the one who has endured to the end will be saved. Now listen, it doesn't mean that everybody that's ever been saved always has to be persecuted or spat upon or beat up or things like that. I mean, certainly that happens in places. But still, we have to understand that this walk and this race we run must be finished in order to enter into the joy of the Lord. Now in Luke 13, as I get ready to close, verses 23 through 28 says, "And someone said to him, 'Lord, there are just a few who are being saved.'" Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." Here he's talking about a door, but it's the same thing, the same principle. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Now, this is how I know that this door and the gates we're talking about is the point at which we leave this life. Listen to what else he says. "For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Why is that? Why would anybody seek to enter through the narrow door and not be able to enter? Only one reason. Because when you get to that door, it's too late. Verse 25, here we go. "Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open up to us,' then he will answer and say to you, 'I don't know where you're from.' Then you will begin to say, 'Well, Jesus, we ate and we drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets, and we went to church, and I even prophesied, and I prayed for this person and that person. And yeah, I know I live for the world and everything, and I didn't really sell out to Jesus, but listen.'" But then it says in verse 27, Jesus will say, "I tell you." You know, this is serious when Jesus says, "I tell you, I do not know where you're from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves being thrown out." Now Jesus has given us a picture of the end of our lives where we're about to enter into eternity. And Jesus said, but listen, before you get there, strive to enter through the narrow door. Because the narrow door is the same as the narrow gate. You get there by going down the narrow road. And listen, it is work to go down the narrow path that leads to the gate, which is narrow, that leads to eternal life. It's work. You know, we live in the midst of a world, again, that opposes the kingdom of God. So to walk on that road is going to take some effort. To walk or to go on the Broadway, as I said, is nothing. We just go with the flow. But in this world, this fallen world, a person who is a part of the kingdom of God can't just go with the flow to the kingdom of God, because the very nature of the kingdom in you and upon you and the path you're on is against the way of the world. So we must strive. You know, I think of these long marathons. I don't run them, but I know some people that do. And you know, these things are long. And you run for hours, and you know, there are points along the way. I mean, I used to be a jogger. I didn't run marathons, but there are points along the way where you just, you know, your body's just screaming, stop, take a break, stop. But you know, you will not ever complete that race unless you stay in it, or that marathon, or that walk, or whatever it is. You won't complete it unless you finish the race and cross the finish line. And that's the way it is with Jesus. I'm not saying that, you know, this is not a thing about losing your salvation. And again, I'm not judging anyone to say that they're not saved, but I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. He's given you the Spirit, you the ability to rightly divide the Word of God. But I do know this, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're on a narrow path and going the opposite way of the world you live in. And Jesus said, strive to enter through that narrow gate. So why am I saying all this, and what is this all about? We live in a time where the world itself, which has bound up billions of people, needs to see the reality of the kingdom of God in the midst of it all. You are that answer, because the kingdom of God lives in you. It's time, my friends, to be vigilant. It's time to be proactive in our serving Jesus and not burying our heads in the sand thinking, you know, it's always been this way. It's going to go away. It's going to pass over. But listen, God has put you on this earth for a time and for a season and for a purpose. And that is to serve Him, to stand for Him, to walk in purity, not perfection, but purity, purity of heart before Him, with a desire to simply serve and glorify Him on this earth. And if that is in your heart, then there are certain things in the world and about the world that really annoy you, and you don't want to go that way. You want to stand up so people can see that there is a better way. And that's what I want to encourage you with as I leave today. Stand strong for Jesus. Stand on His principles. Work on your relationship. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ by drawing near to Him. The Scripture says when you do, He'll draw near to you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And let's let the world out there that opposes everything we stand for, because it opposes Jesus, let them see His love. Let them see that He's supernatural. Let them see that He offers an eternal life opposed to the world's offering an eternal death. Thank you, my friend, for listening to the Steve Hutto Podcast. You have a very blessed day. God bless you.